is Maytag Month, and Menards is passing the savings on to you. You need reliable and energy-efficient appliances to conquer the day. Menards is your one-stop shop with appliances in stock and ready to take home today. Check out our top appliance brands, including KitchenAid, Maytag, Whirlpool, Amana, and Criterion. Save big money on Maytag appliances at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5.
Yeah.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's a Tuesday on The Usual Suspects. Hopefully everybody's having a great day as they make their way through the big city. Barry's here, Nick's here, I'm here, all present and accounted for. We're going to take you for the next 3 hours, hopefully on a ride full of entertainment, sports, and other things. Fellas, what is going on?
What up, what it do?
All good in the neighborhood. Survived last night's debacle.
Ugh.
Oh, my
I made
goodness.
It through the first half, and then Daddy went memes. Well, actually, I didn't go memes, but I started working on show flyers and stuff because I was like, this sucks.
Okay.
It was boring.
Yeah, I left it on because literally there really was nothing else on. Even Lisa was like, this is garbage. And I go, yeah, but there's nothing else on. The Astros aren't playing. So we just left it on. And I started laughing. I was telling Nick, because in the whole Twin Peaks Fantasy Football League, I had Jimmy Garoppolo as my quarterback. He gave me 3.5 points. But I had the Bears defense last night, and I just started piling on. And after every turnover, I went, oh, there's another one. I almost got 200 points without using a quarterback this week.
Really? Who'd you play? Do we know the suspect?
We don't know. I mean, we don't have like the super friendly relationship with the suspect.
Okay.
But it is a suspect. And I can look it up. But I will tell you this. I even tried to help Clarence out.
Oh,
you know
why?
How he was whining and bitching about all of his players that were hurt?
Yeah.
So mid-game, I was like, I remember Clarence needed somebody. And Cole Beasley had 14.8 points last week. I was like, you want Cole Beasley? And he's like, yeah. I was like, I'll take your backup quarterback. Happened to be Jared Goff. So I did all right.
Not bad. I also had the Bears defense, but I only got 6.9 points out of it.
What you had?
In the ESPN
it's the
league,
same
right?
Scoring, yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, I already had a big week, but I'm like,
yeah.
I was pushing.
But I had Allen Robinson going as well. Poor Titan Hugo. He just ran up against a juggernaut.
Oh, after all the mess he was talking.
Final score 162.6 to 128.6. It was a debacle. Titan Hugo is like, oh God. He's gotta just retire from fantasy after that ass whooping. Sorry, Hugo. But you showed up about like your Titans did, bro.
Yeah, Donald Kraft.
You boo-booed in the bed, buddy.
I played Donald and did what everybody's done so far. He's only three.
Oh, damn.
I'm
Donald, what's his team name? The Doormats?
D-Kraft.
Everybody just
champs.
Walking all of... Oh, really? You need to change that if you're 0-3, buddy.
The consolation champs, maybe, but...
Yeah. Well, the Spring Stallions are 2-1. I'm happy to report.
Yep, and the Texas Hammer Time... team is also 2-1. Nicholas,
Nick, what's your fantasy team like, bro?
Are you 2-1?
Oh, I am undefeated, 3-0, baby.
You really lying sack of crap? Are you really?
Yeah, I was. I thought I was going to lose this week, but I ended up barely squeaking it out by 5 points.
Oh man,
I am currently did you play undefeated.
Anybody? But was Barry on the TV?
Was
Barry on the TV?
I'm not going to ever reveal that.
No, you were just barely squeaking it out. I just asked.
I'm never going to... See, our listeners don't know what we're talking
exactly
about right now.
I love inside jokes on the radio.
That's the fun... No, it was still funny.
It was funny.
See.
But, you know, just to the two of us.
You're 3-0 and you're scouring the waiver.
I kind of want to lose a game, though, man. I kind of want to lose a game early.
Shut up.
Seriously, I don't want to be undefeated.
People like that where they're like, oh, I don't want to be undefeated. The pressure of being so great. Kiss my ass,
I don't know about all that. I don't know about the pressure of being so great.
I don't want to jinx it later in the year.
Yeah, I do want to jinx Nick. I think you're going to win the championship.
That's exactly what I'm trying to avoid.
Here's the problem when I play. Like, if I were undefeated, I don't usually talk crap because as soon as I do, stuff goes
bad.
That's
why I haven't mentioned it.
Right? So, like, if I was undefeated and Joel and I were playing, I'm like, oh, I'm going to stomp a mud. I'm going to murder you this week. And then I would lose by 90 and never win another game the rest of the year.
So you were Clarence.
So I just, yeah, pretty much. I just have to, I can't talk mess. As soon as I trash talk,
I'm with you.
The wheels fall off.
And by the way, I'm not making that up. That's Clarence. Clarence talked all that bad mess leading up to week one. I just looked at his record. He's 0-3.
Ooh.
And he has taken it every which way but sideways. So, Clarence, learn your lesson from what Barry just said.
You better have a Bill O'Brien turnaround like last year, bro, after coming off 0-3.
Or just root for your Saints because you got nothing else to look forward to. Your fantasy team. Wow.
That's pretty terrible.
Harsh.
Yeah. Yeah, I currently sit at 2-1, so I'm pretty stoked about that. Speaking of pretty stoked about it, I mean, we'll talk about the game if you want to last night.
I mean, it's not much to talk about.
But I'm pretty stoked, dude. I picked up a gig at the Improv this week. So
it's official.
Yeah, it's official. I work in the Houston Improv this week featuring for John Witherspoon.
Congratulations.
Thank you. A lot of people, if you don't recognize the name, you'll probably recognize Pops. He's the dad in Friday. It was in Boomerang, the Boondocks, Black Jesus, the Tracy Morgan
Show.
Mushroom
shirt with the mushroom belt.
He's got to coordinate. Now, I do know that Andy Huggins, friend of the show, he usually features for John when he's in town.
Oh, okay.
But Andy was busy. So Andy was like, hey, you should hit up the Improv. I'm not going to be there. Maybe, you know, maybe you can feature for John. So it all worked out. So pretty excited about that.
That's awesome. That's this weekend.
That is this weekend. Shows Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Oh, you're doing all four?
I'm doing all six.
Six?
There are six shows. One Thursday, two Friday, two Saturday, one Sunday.
That's awesome. Nora's going to be in how many of them?
None. Oh. You'll be opening for us.
Yep, I will. Everybody's been waiting and clamoring for that, so I'll be gearing up for that.
Yeah. But no, it's like if you know, tickets and all that stuff, barryisfunny.com. It's on the website. Normally I like to give out tickets to the show.
Yeah.
Not so much when it's this kind of show.
It's a big deal, and it's your first shot doing this with them. So
on your day off.
Yeah, how you get fired on your day off. That's Spoon. That's Pops. Yeah, but I love to give out tickets. I mean, I'll hit them up and see if I can get a couple pairs to give away. But for the most part, on shows like this, when you got a guy like John Witherspoon coming to town, they don't do a lot of giveaways. It's going to be packed.
People need to go out and support you.
Yeah.
Go support your boy and get the tickets.
But a lot of people do ask, hey, when are you in town again? So here it is. I make a list. I know everyone that's asked me, when's my next show in Houston? And if I don't see you this weekend, don't ever ask me again. I'll punch you in the gullet.
Well, violent
there.
I think without the punch you in the gullet thing, you basically handled your business. Because once you made that statement, and if you don't see them, then...
Yeah, they're dead to me. They're not dead to me. No. But yeah, this is going to be fun. It's going to be a good weekend. He's really funny. If you think he's funny in movies, very funny on stage. So I don't know who's hosting, but it's going to be a good weekend.
Nick.
I'm excited.
You hosting?
Yeah, Nick, you want to host?
Probably not.
You know, I'll write your jokes for you.
Get a few beverages in you, you'll be good to go.
Oh, boy. Get you drunk.
I'll be kicked out within 2.5 minutes.
And ready to go?
Man. Yeah. Well, on stage, they won't kick you off.
I actually had a friend perform at the Improv last night.
Oh, really? Who?
My buddy Graham.
Graham
Poland, I think, is his last name.
What's his last name?
He's an aspiring comic. He's not officially a comic yet.
Graham.
I did tell him to get in touch with you.
Graham Colin, who worked. Is that what you said?
Poland, I think. It's Poland.
Oh, Poland.
P-O-L-L-A-N.
And he was performing last night.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I might do a podcast with him. He's actually a really funny dude.
Okay. I would hope so if he's doing comedy.
Yeah, that would be. Yeah.
He'll even admit it. He's an aspiring comic.
If he wasn't funny, that would be pretty awful.
Be like, you know, I got this mechanic. He's pretty decent fixing cars. Well, you damn well better be.
That's like those what is it? Is it Progressive or Geico commercials where they're like, okay, he's just not good enough? Have you seen those?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's okay at comedy.
Yeah, I can't remember.
He's on stage.
If it's Geico.
Why did the chicken cross the road? My favorite of those commercials is the Dutch. The guy speaking Dutch, and he's like, my Dutch is okay.
Yeah.
And he's like, just okay. And he's like, tell him we're flexible. He's very bendy. And then he's like, he needs a hug.
He needs a hug. Yeah.
It's happening. Yeah. That is my favorite, dude. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Good acting really makes it.
No doubt about it. Full show on a Tuesday. So yeah, we've got lots to talk about. Astros back on the diamond in a two-game set with the Mariners in Seattle. So we can talk about that. Texans working out another running back today. So we'll get that news to you because that might be an interesting pickup for a backfield that's been doing okay. And other things that if you got something on your mind, you want to get off your chest and join the show, we always welcome you. HRNP listener line, 713-780-3776. You can call that number. You can text that number. You can also hit us up on Twitter where it's at Pac-Man Joel with a K, at Barry is funny, at the producer Nick.
Don't forget to also we have a guest at 2:30. I guess we could say friend of the show now.
I think after the second appearance,
she's excited.
Friend of the show.
Alice Little from the world famous Bunny Ranch out in Las Vegas will be joining us. She made the news after this whole Area 51 movement.
Yeah.
Where people are wanting to storm Area 51. Alice says that if they do, she could make up to $600K satisfying alien fantasies in the bedroom. So we'll have Alice on. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about virtual reality sex.
Yeah, if you can't get to Vegas, more. You might be in luck.
Yeah, we'll do that. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a good show. Hey, speaking of good, if you haven't downloaded GetUpside yet, do yourself a favor. Do yourself a solid and go put GetUpside on your phone right now. You're going to love this app. It gets you cash back. Guys, you're already spending this money. Here's what I don't understand about people that don't use GetUpside. You're already spending this money. You're already paying with a debit or credit card, right? All you got to do now is, once you claim the offer in the app, is you upload the receipt and then wait 24 hours and you get the cash back in your account. So if you're already doing half of this process, take 30 seconds and put the app on your phone and log in and then start using it when you're filling up your tank on your car or when you stop to get some food. Whether it's Wendy's, Popeye's, Burger King, there's hundreds of restaurants around, Madeline's, Dunkin' Donuts, Candelaria's Pizza. There's literally hundreds of restaurants around the city where you can get up to 35% of your money back in your pocket when you go and use the GetUpside app to go out to eat. Whether it's lunch, dinner, breakfast, doesn't matter. You can use it as much as you want. You eat three times in a day? Hey, you can use it three times every single day and get up to 35% cash back when you eat out. Same thing with the gas. When you want to fill up, if you put in my promo code Barry, B-A-R-R-Y, you'll get an extra bump on your first fill up. But every time you fill up, you could get up to 25 cents a gallon cash back. And those deals do exist. Remember Clarence showed us where there was a gas station that was given 25 cents a gallon cash back. So it's out there, but you're not going to know and you're not going to be able to get it if you don't have GetUpside on your phone. So do yourself a favor right now. Go download GetUpside. Put in my promo code Barry. Start getting that cash back. Thank me later.
Is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, rolling through the show. First hour as it is The Usual Suspects. ESPN 97.5, Barry, Nick, and Joel in the studio. Appreciate you tuning us in and talking it up on a sportsy Tuesday in the big city.
So you didn't like the game last night either, huh?
I mean, my only sense of enjoyment would have been if the Bears were in trouble again.
My week as far as my picks go, though. I ended up 7-9. Thank goodness. Otherwise, it would have just been a disaster.
That's enough to get people swaying their way to be betting on your picks. Here's the thing. People are crapping all over Case Keenum. Now, I will say, rightfully so. I don't think that early on, he had some guys drop some really good passes. Mm. But I think overall, I think Jay Gruden's lost that team. I think that for as bad as everybody thinks, and rightfully so, the Dolphins are horrible. But, boy, the Redskins got to be right behind them. I thought the Cardinals would be the second worst team in the league. But they just seem like they're running amok and everything's just out of play, you know, just out of joint. And I'm going, man, I don't know if Jay Gruden keeps his job much longer.
It'll be interesting to see if he survives the season. But I think part of the problem is Case Keenum as your starting quarterback. Case Keenum is that he did exactly what we expected. Some fumbles, some interceptions, a couple touchdowns. It's too late. I mean, some of it is on that defense, but, you know, there was the interception return for the touchdown. That was all on Case Keenum when Clinton Dix ran that all the way back. And then he had the fumble. And I mean, and we talked a little bit about Keenum yesterday, and Keenum's going to Keenum. I mean, that's what he is.
But everybody's clamoring for a change. My biggest problem is they're so bad right now, and it just seems like there's no kind of order or structure. Do I really want to put Haskins in a situation where we know that when rookies get their first taste of the NFL, it's so important to get off on the right foot. Otherwise, there's a lot of things that can linger. A lot of, you know, look at David Carr. He got beat up so badly that, you know, he was gun shy the rest of his career thinking he was going to get hit all the time. And he would just bail and take a knee and all the other things that he did. Haskins is too big of a prospect, too much potential. The roof is the ceiling. But he has such a high potential for what his future could lead to. I don't want to put him in an environment where he's going to get beat up.
I mean, they mentioned something on the broadcast last night about Haskins and how they're taking their time. And anytime I hear that they're bringing a quarterback along slowly, my first thought is he doesn't have a grasp of the offense, because there's no NFL team on this planet. There's only 32 of them. Right. That if their quarterback, their future of the franchise, had a good grasp of the offense and the ability to go out and execute it, would still sit on the bench. You only bring them along slowly if they either aren't getting it or the skill set's not there and you're trying to improve it.
Well, obviously, you look at Kyler Murray. You look at Daniel Jones.
Because there are a lot better options than Case Keenum. Exactly.
Right, right.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you know, Kyler Murray, he knew that there was going to be some sort of, you know, college version of an offense.
Sure, but he'll have some growing pains, but at the same time.
But he's got a grasp of the offense well enough to know it because of, you know, the fact that him and his head coach came from the college ranks. Mm-hmm. The same thing is through in New York. I mean, he had shown a propensity to be able to handle the offense. It was just, was he ready? And sometimes you just have to say, yeah, okay, throw him out to the Wolves and let him learn. The Giants weren't going to do anything anyways. If the Redskins aren't going to do anything anyways, put him on the field and let him learn.
Yeah, I just
worry. If he's ready.
Yeah, that's the thing. One, if he's ready. And two, I just worry about putting him behind a bad line and then letting him just get beat up too. Because the one thing is, you know you're not going anywhere this year, but you know that's your future. So you don't want to get him hurt. But if you can put him in a position, because look, their running game is
already. Didn't mind doing that.
Geis is out. What I'm saying. But I mean, Geis is out. You know, they're dinged up. Reed might never play again at tight end. There's just Johnson's still holding out. And based on Booger McFarland's report last night.
Yeah, he ain't going nowhere.
It isn't about like the money or anything else. It's about that he doesn't trust the medical staff. They did him wrong. He doesn't want to go there. And unless Washington just realizes, look, we can cut our losses and trade him, but he's not coming back. He's just going to sit, not collect a check, and that's just going to be a lost resource too.
But Keenum had 4 sacks, right? And the Bears had like 9 quarterback hits. So not great.
No.
But Keenum also had 5 turnovers. He had 3 interceptions.
How the hell do you know that?
2 fumbles.
Do you go on a 4th-and-1? Do you think it's a goal line situation where you just have to put the ball over the line and then they knock it out of his hands and it's like, you dumbass. I mean.
But that's what I'm saying. You're the guy you went out and drafted to be a quarterback of the future can make these mistakes. I mean, what's the difference in who's turning it over 5 times? You know what Case Keenum is. You don't know what the young guy is, what a rookie's going to be. So at least if you're going to turn it over 5 times, figure out if you got a quarterback, because you already know what Case Keenum is.
They got a good young receiver, so you know you could build a rapport there. But yeah, they're not going anywhere. And I did a little research. The last time a Redskins team started 0-3, Dan Snyder fired the coach. So they're 0-3 now. And based on just how everything sounded after the game and looked and just. I just think Jay Gruden's days are done in Washington.
That could be. I mean, they did face a tough defense, and you can't turn it over 5 times against a good defense and expect to have good results.
No. Yeah. So, I mean, and I don't know. Look, Ohio State's coach that replaced Urban Meyer is supposed to be next to Lincoln Riley, the next hot commodity that's out there. Well, what better guy to take a look at if you're Dan Snyder than a guy that actually has coached Haskins in the past?
Yeah.
So there's something I forget. Is his last name May? The head coach at Ohio State. I just know that Dan Snyder always wants to hit the home run. The Steve Spurriers, the big names, the Mike Shanahan. Shanahan was the last guy, by the way, that was fired after going 0-3 to start a season in Washington. But I think if you're Washington, you showed a propensity
did
for spending
the money.
Did he
fire him at 0-3 or did he let it go a little further?
No, at 0-3.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh. Ryan Day.
Ryan Day. Yeah. Ryan Day is the guy that is going to be next to Lincoln Riley in terms of rumored head coaching gigs in the NFL. Good, would be a good matchup, although Snyder's just basically gets drunk on the big names.
Yeah.
He could do better by getting a good football name that knows how to work with young talent. Because, look, the other guy that got just beat up last night besides Keenum was the corner. What am I with names today? Josh Norman.
Josh Norman
beat up. And everybody's like, how much are you paying him? And everybody's putting out gifts out there about every receiver when they saw Norman on them. And they were like, the gifts were like guys pumping their fists and celebrating and stuff. He just looked bad.
Well, he's had a down year.
A lot of money.
Yeah, you're making a lot of money. Outside of quarterback, I feel like corner might be the toughest position in the NFL to play right now. And maybe I'm wrong on that. But man, there's so much because it's a pass happy league. You're at a disadvantage of not knowing what the receiver is going to do. When you're the receiver, it's easy to win a matchup because you know the route you're going to run, and all you got to do is give them a good fake. And also, most receivers are bigger than the cornerbacks. I would not want to be a cornerback in today's NFL. That's for sure. It's got to be a very difficult position to play. One minute you're doing great, but all it takes is getting burned a few times and you have a bad day.
That's what I'm saying. Like the quarterback position, you're right. These are guys that memories that are hard to erase if you get off to a bad start. If you're a high draft pick, but you come in and you get just absolutely left in the dust by a few veteran receivers, then you start getting a little gun shy. Mm-hmm. Then you start worrying about some things. Because Lance and I were talking about it because I said, look, it's such a crapshoot when you say, hey, these corners tested out great at the combine, but it's more or less, that's fine and dandy. They're incredible athletes, but how is their reactionary times? How's their quick twitch when a receiver runs a route you weren't expecting, and their closing speed to make up ground, things like that.
You say hip turn.
You got into it with someone up over that. But I'm saying, because the Packers drafted Zaire Alexander, and everybody was like, oh, he's a little less than this guy, and he's like, boy, he's just a stud. Mm-hmm. And when you look at it, that's the thing Lance was saying. Some of the things that doesn't show up at the combine are some of those, just it's like we were talking about the difference between analytics and the eye test. Mm-hmm. At some point you gotta get both of those things into the mix and into the conversation because they mean so much.
Well, I think it's safe to say the Redskins are terrible.
Yeah,
I agree. And I don't think you're going to get any better with Case Keenum at quarterback. Apparently, Haskins isn't ready or he's not getting the offense. But at some point, I throw the kid out there. What do you got to lose? Especially if you're probably going to get fired if you continue to lose anyways.
I think one way or another, like I said, I don't know how Jay Gruden survives much longer. But we'll see what happens in Washington. Yeah. That was ugly. Cowboys fans rejoice because there's another team in your division that just absolutely sucks that you can clean up on. So, lots more to get to. Astros talk with them opening up a series in Seattle. And, of course, still watching the records and the matchups. Yankees at Tampa. Dodgers at San Diego. So, as we watch the race for the best record, that's what we're looking at. As we can talk about some Stros and some other things as we get going into the second half hour of the show. 713-780-3776, HRP listener line. You can call, you can text, hit us on Twitter. Back with more right here on ESPN 97.5.
Summer night, keeping me up.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Here we go. Second half hour of the show. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel in the studio on a Tuesday, tomorrow, way back Wednesday. I don't even know if I want to stir that up at this point, but we do know it's on the radar.
What you got?
Yeah, Nick, what do you got?
Way back Wednesday?
Yeah.
Celebration type songs?
Yeah, because
happy
I don't have to
because
deal
of
with
the
you.
Texans and the Astros.
You don't have to deal with us.
One more day of dealing with you guys. So celebration songs, I like that.
What about celebrating the Texans' big victory?
I said Texans and Astros.
Yeah, Astros. Celebrating that the Rockets are here. So now Joel will have something else to pitch about.
There you go.
God, I love them.
What about celebrating?
You know, you asked, and I researched it for you, by the way.
Oh, did you now?
Yeah, your favorite basketball team has Media Day, which I know you're planning to attend this Friday, I believe.
Oh, really?
Rockets announced Media Day September 27th with training camp starting the 28th. First preseason game, September 30th. Basketball almost here.
Is that the Shanghai Sharks
game?
That
would be, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So you're on it. So your team, back. Don't start waiting until Christmas this year. Basketball starts end of September. Be on it.
Yeah, no, I'll probably still wait to care until December.
Dynamic Daryl Morey already hinting that he will be using load management with Harden and Westbrook.
Is that going to be a thing, really?
There's an article out in which he did an interview on Rockets Wire, picked it up off of USA Today, stating that they are going to be that Morey cites resting when healthy is the plan for Harden and Westbrook. I don't agree with it.
Sweet. That makes you not want to go watch games in person. If I'm going to the Toyota Center, I want to see Russ and Harden play.
No
I
doubt.
Don't want to see them rest.
I completely agree.
Dumb idea.
Now, the only thing that
I want to win a championship, I want them fresh. So, smart idea.
The only thing that I think the fans have going for them is I don't know Russell Westbrook. I know James, and I know James's tenacity to want to play games. James is not going to want to sit.
Okay.
So, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
And I feel like Russ is the same way.
I
kind of get that feeling that Westbrook's the same way. Yeah. So, I like that. But then it becomes who wins out if it's, you know, the two guys trying to say, I want to play, and them saying, well, we want to sit you down.
Did you see the video of them hitting the heavy bag?
Yeah, I did.
Nicholas?
Barefooted, too, by the way.
Nicholas, did you see this? He's not paying. The video of them hitting the heavy bag was atrocious.
It was bad.
I felt sick to my stomach when you watch... and they're great athletes, and I don't remember who said it, but somebody said it best. When you take an athlete and make them do something else, athletic, you really start to realize how good they are just at what they do.
Specialized sports. Yep.
Yeah, because man, they're watching them just throw nothing but shoulder and arm punches on a heavy bag, no hip turn, no feet, no nothing. I was like, oh gosh, that's pretty rough. And they're both really good athletes.
Uh huh.
But it was pretty sad, which I also thought it was kind of foreshadowing of them both fighting one heavy bag. Kind of like I pictured the heavy bag was a ball, and they're both just fighting over it.
It was very awkward looking in the video.
Yeah.
But Morey said that, look, Keith Jones, who's one of the best in the business, he's senior VP of basketball operations, longtime trainer. Jason Biles handles all their training and performance rehab. They said they're going to put together a plan, but he obviously said if they get off to the start they did last year at 7-11, there won't be a whole lot of resting.
Mm-hmm.
But he said everything's contextual. Huh. We need to at all times be looking at the ultimate goal of winning a title and what's the best decision. I think reading the article, I get the sense that he thinks this is going to be a cakewalk of a regular season. It's going to be all about the playoffs. The West is loaded.
Yeah.
I mean, you could have a bad week and probably tumble from a top four team with home court advantage in the first round to right there at the 7-8 spot. When you talk about Utah and Denver and, you know, some of these other teams that you're not even putting into the equations of the Lakers and the Clippers and the Rockets and teams like that. There's a lot of good teams in the West,
there
unlike
really
the East, to where I don't know that you could coast.
I don't think you can. I think you want to be realistic about what your possibilities are as slots. Like, if you realize you're probably a middle tier like the Rockets are, they're probably not a top two or three seed, then I think you can be realistic and say, well, if we're four or five, what's really the difference?
You don't think they're top four?
I think they might be four, but I don't think they're a top three seed.
I'm waiting to see just the dynamic of how the two get along, Westbrook and Harden.
Mm-hmm.
But I think just on paper alone, I think they're a top four team along with the two LA teams, and then either Portland or Utah or Denver.
You got no love for Golden State, huh?
No, regular season, no. But they're scary as hell in the playoffs. If everybody comes back healthy by the time they get to the playoffs, because you still have Draymond and Steph, and we saw what they did to the Rockets when they go back to running that system that they ran before they got KD. No doubt in the playoffs, they are going to be a bitch to get out.
Who'd you say? The two LA teams, probably 1 and 2.
Yep.
And then?
Portland, the Rockets, and Utah are all in that mix for 3 and 4.
Yeah, I'd probably put Portland and Utah ahead of the Rockets.
Okay.
Maybe
I don't see
maybe the Rockets ahead of Portland.
I'm not a
Utah scares
I'm not
me.
A buyer on Utah as much as most. So I would probably say Portland and the Rockets and then Utah.
Okay.
But we'll see how and
so,
again,
so basically the way they finished this year, 3-4-5. Mm-hmm. Portland, Rockets, Jazz. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, and that's, like I said, without seeing them play a game yet, because of all the teams that we just mentioned, the team that has the most to worry about in terms of cohesiveness and chemistry is the Rockets.
Okay. I can see that. It's like you said, it's going to be interesting. The Nuggets are going to have a say
really
in this
good
as well.
Young team.
I think the Warriors are going to surprise some people, even in the regular season, just because they've been there, done that. I mean, they still have a loaded roster. Even though they lost Durant, it's still loaded.
Mm-hmm.
So it's still deep, mm-hmm. and they can still play the current style of basketball and play it effectively. So I don't think that they'll finish top two or three.
But it won't surprise me
if the Warriors finish third. But I think your odds on favorites of finishing 1-2 have to be the LA teams.
I think I think the Rockets could finish third. If it works.
But that's why I say, I mean, if you realize with a month and a half to go that, look, we're probably a 4 seed, 5 seed, so it doesn't matter. We know who we're playing. We just don't know if we're going to get one extra game at home or on the road. Then you can start to load manage a little bit.
Now, yeah, I think that load management is going to be something that should be a sidebar until they figure it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. It sounds like something you could ask Alice Little about. The other thing is, when you look at the whole scenario of the West and just the title,
mm-hmm.
what I said to you a couple months ago still holds true, and that is Andre Iguodala may hold the keys to whoever is going to win the title, because he's a guy that pushes so many teams over the top mm-hmm. in terms of chemistry and mm-hmm. depth and locker room and all that other stuff, experience. And he's holding out now. He's not even gonna, he's staying away from Memphis. And Memphis firmly believes they can find a trade partner. I'm telling you, if they don't find a trade partner and he gets bought out, he is going to be the hottest of hot commodities.
Yeah.
And if they find a trade partner and then whoever trades for him buys him out or lets him walk, the Warriors then are eligible at that point to bring him back. And if that would happen, now you really got to pay attention to the Warriors.
Yeah.
Because I think if Iggy goes to the Rockets or the Lakers or the Clippers or the Blazers, he makes a world of difference.
I would agree. He's probably going to be one of the most sought after.
Let him go back to Philly and see what happens there too.
Ooh.
Because Philly right now in the East looks like the odds-on favorite to be a 1-2 seed with Milwaukee. If he goes to Philly, now you really got to respect them in terms of playing the West in the finals.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting.
So it should be fun
times ahead.
Yep, so basketball is on the horizon with that. That's crazy. And, of course, plenty other things to get to coming up this week and this weekend as we continue to roll through. Before we go to the break, I do want to tell you about the good people at the Houstonian. I've been telling you about them for quite a while. You know, Steve's our hotel guy, and we have him in whenever there's a Texans road trip to tell you where to go and what to do. But more so than anything else, he runs that establishment at the Houstonian, and he runs a top-notch ship. Everything is just luxurious. From every detail, you are going to be pampered. And if you're looking for a place for a staycation or maybe just to get away with your significant other for the weekend, or maybe take the family and you don't want to leave town and travel 3 to 4 hours, you don't have to. Houstonian's got it all for you right on their grounds, conveniently located in the Galleria area, 175,000 square foot workout facility and health club. That 27 acres of woods and trails and everything so that you want to get out and explore nature with your family. They have Scout Kelly, certified trail leader with the Boy Scouts, to take you on all kinds of hikes to look at animals, birds, plants. But the rooms themselves, you know you're going to be in luxury accommodations. They're spectacular. The suites are fantastic. They have 4 unbelievable restaurants to handle all of your needs in terms of food and drink. And then the Trellis Spa, if you really want to be pampered, it's all right there. Check them out. Go to thehoustonian.com. You're going to be glad you did. Just watch the videos and see what I'm talking about. Luxury right here in the city where you don't have to leave Houston, but you can feel like you're miles and miles away. Check them out. I'm telling you, you won't regret it. It's the Houstonian and Houstonian.com.
This is
is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Rolling through hour number one, three-hour show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Barry, Nick, and Joel here, talking about a variety of topics, including sportsy stuff. We even got a little Rockets talk in there last segment.
Can't believe it.
Now we can turn the page. We can get to your Astros.
Yes!
Gerrit Cole on the hill tonight. You hope the Mariners continue to just mail it in and call this one a season. But I don't think you have to worry even if they don't, because the lineup they're putting out there against a guy that has been as dominant as Gerrit Cole should obviously weigh heavily in the Astros' favor. But as I said, Dodgers playing the Padres, Yankees playing the Rays. Yankees have the toughest matchup of the three teams.
They do.
Taking a on a wild card team that's fighting to stay in the wild card race. So hopefully good things ahead. I did an article last night for Sports Map on all the different possibilities of what happens with that fourth spot in the rotation with the Astros come playoff time.
And then, what did you decide on?
I normally leave it up to the peeps, but I said, look, if this was a year ago, Brad Peacock would be your guy, and it'd be no worries at all, because he's proven capable of being able to do such a thing. But in the case of both Peacock and McHugh, injuries are probably gonna, and time is gonna be the factors that say these guys just can't do it this year. So then you look at the young guys, and you look at the Josh James and the Framber Valdez, and you look at the young guys like that, and you realize, hey, based on what they're doing with Urquidy, he would be the only guy in my mind that would really have a chance of even being considered for that. And because of the previous Tommy John surgery, the innings restrictions, the way they've been watching how many innings he's had already this year, and the fact that he's just been okay lately, I don't see it happening. I think that when you get down to it, you know, unless you want to consider Ron Gaughan as a guy, that because they've used him as an opener in the past, if nothing
sounds
else.
Sounds like a very familiar...
Yeah, it's a conversation that we had yesterday as well. But like I said, I laid all options on the table.
Uh-huh.
But then I read an article this morning that Aaron Boone has already come out and said for the Yankees, they're going with a three-man rotation. And I just... I gave that as a possibility for the Astros, but I think that screams desperation. I think you do that when you're down in a series and you know you got to rely on your horses. But I don't want to tax the arms of Verlander and Cole and Greinke unless I have to.
Yeah, you don't have to, because you know that if you lose that game, you still follow it with Verlander and Cole again.
So you're talking about using an opener.
I'm talking about whatever you do. If you run Miley out there,
avoid going with a three-man rotation unless you have to.
Yeah, if you run Miley out there in game four.
Yeah.
Then win or lose, if you're up 2-1, if you're, you know, now obviously if you're down 2-1, you don't run Miley out there. You probably have to go on short rest with Verlander because you're fighting for your playoff
life.
But
my point is, you don't do it until you're down in a series and in desperate times creates desperate measures. You have to do it, right? But I'm not doing it if I'm up 2-1 in a series.
No, absolutely not. I run Wade Miley out there and go figure it out. Because if he figures it out in the postseason, look, it's so weird how it works, but once that switch flips and then you go from regular season to postseason, something happens with some guys. Mm-hmm. Some get better. Remember Colby Rasmus when he just went on an absolute tear after being just average for most of the year, and some get worse. But you're not sure what can happen. You know, if you're up 2-1, I think it's a lot different than if you're down 2-1. If you're up 2-1, then you run Wade Miley out there and see what he does.
And the last thing that I put in the article was...
If you're down 2-1, you run Justin Verlander out there.
To your point, the last thing I wrote in the article was, you hope that between Wade Miley and Brent Strom and whoever the video pitching video coordinators are, they can find out and solve whatever's been going on. Because when you look at his velocity, it hasn't been down. But we said he resurrected his career with the cutter. And you look at it, and I don't know if he's tipping pitches. I don't know if it's a release point issue. I don't know exactly what it is. Now, he hasn't been, lately, he hasn't been giving up hard contact and laser beams. Some of them have been due to the shift and seeing eye grounders. But overall, it's just, if it was just a one-time thing, fluky thing, fine. But seven runs and two consecutive starts at home in the first inning of both games Some bad, you know, interspliced with some bad starts on the road as well. He did give up just two runs and get a win against the Royals. But I was looking at all the stats going, man, it's just the trend in September. His ERA is 22 plus.
Mm-hmm. It's been ugly. So what are you doing? If you're AJ Hinch, you're up 2-1, what do you do?
I think if I'm up, it depends on what Miley looks like. And where his head is at. Because, look, as well as I just said you can try and work some things out with Brent Strom, half the battle is going to be between his ears. Because he knows, especially if it's a home start, he knows that when he takes the mound lately at Minute Maid Park, it's been a nightmare. So I see what you're saying. I'm leaning your way. I'm saying you throw Miley out there. But we all know that everything is magnified in the playoffs, and you don't want to give up a 4-5-6-run cushion to a team in a playoff game as opposed to a regular season game.
Yeah.
But I think it's the only – because of how depleted your bullpen not named Will Harris, Ryan Presley, or Osuna is, I just don't know that you want to tax that bullpen any more than it already is going to be just on spot usage as you get deep into games.
Well, it'll be interesting because you've got Miley and Urquidy getting a start in the final series against the Angels on the road. And who knows? I mean, if Miley has a bad outing and Urquidy has a great outing, maybe Urquidy does get the start and goes four innings, at which point you turn it over to Brad Peacock for 1-2 innings. That gets you to six. And then you can consider, well, do you want to throw Rondon out there for a seven or Harris out there for a seven? Right. And then you go 8-9 with Presley and Osuna. You only got to get through six innings. And if Peacock could give you three and Urquidy can give you three, then maybe that's the route you go.
Because here's the thing. When I was starting to write the article, mm-hmm. my thought was Urquidy's the guy that I have the most trust in because of his recent starts. They weren't bad. They weren't great. But he was effective. Remember the one that they was on the pitch count and he got him through the fifth with giving up one run.
Mm-hmm.
And he looked really – they were chasing his off-speed stuff. And obviously they blew that game, Josh James and company. But when I looked at it, I was like, okay, he's been effective lately. But again, it's the playoffs. And in the playoffs. He's never been there before. So that's going to be in a different emotion that he's going to have to control. You don't want to take a risk and put a guy out there that is a liability to some degree. Mm-hmm. So I started swaying as I was writing it going, you know what? As much as I felt good about Urquidy before with this topic, now I'm like, I don't know.
Here's something else to consider. I don't know if you put this in the article or not, but I think it also depends too on who you face. And so if you look at Urquidy's worst outing of the year, it was against the Indians. If the Indians end up getting a wild card and winning and the Astros have the best record and they end up facing the Indians in the divisional series.
I didn't put it in there.
Do you want to run Urquidy out there when he gave up six runs to the Indians and his one start against them?
Well,
also something you want to look at is matchups because he didn't have a lot of luck against and the one thing about Urquidy that you might look at too is strength of competition. He faced one really good team this year. Well, he faced two. He faced the Cardinals, gave up one run in six innings, and he faced the Indians and gave up six runs in four innings. All of his other opponents, the Angels, the A's, the Mariners, the Rangers, the Rockies. I mean, outside of the A's, there's not a lot of good competition in there.
That's a great point on familiarity fact that if the Indians, a lot of times when you're looking at a young pitcher's effectiveness, it's because they've never seen him before.
Yep.
And if the Indians have already seen him and had success, now we're going between the ears again. Now you know that's an Indians lineup that's going into that game with a whole ton of confidence going, we've seen him, we've gotten to him, you know, I've had success against him, I want to see him again, as opposed to, you know how it is when you're playing a team and you haven't seen a pitcher at all. They're like, what do you know about this guy? Mm-hmm. What's he got? What's his best pitch? What's this? They're on the iPad. They're trying to get tape on it.
Miley's one start against the Indians this year, 5.2 innings, six hits, one earned run. So something to consider. I'm not saying that that'll be the final determination, but, you know, if it is the A's that's the last time he had his worst outing, 0.1 innings and seven earned runs. That was the A's. Do you run Miley out there against the A's in game four? Or, you know, maybe you do send Urquidy out there because he went five innings and one earned run. So also something I think AJ Hinch will consider when it comes time to make that decision. But I think to me, I don't know what you had in the article, but there's three main options. And a lot of it's going to depend on whether they're up or down in the series at that time. But those options are you go with the opener, you go with Miley, or you go with Urquidy. And that's probably good.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens. But you know what? It's a good problem to have that you're in a situation where you're talking about chasing the best record. And you know that regardless of who your fourth starter is, your top three are set in stone, former Cy Young Award winners, mm-hmm. or in the case of Gerrit Cole, ready to win Possibly his first.
Best case scenario, sweep. And you know what? It's not out of the realm of possibility. I don't care who they're facing. It's just not out of the realm of possibility when you're running out Verlander, Cole, and Greinke. You really could sweep this divisional series.
And the other thing I think about, because I've heard from so many people that they start to worry a little bit about Zach Greinke's couple starts. He's just kind of coasting toward. He's a different pitcher. And come playoff time, when he knows this is his best chance to really win one, I think you'll see a different Zach Greinke too, more focused, more dialed in. And obviously he'll have more familiarity with his catchers because he's still getting back to getting used to, you know, his battery mates and throwing to Chirinos and throwing to Maldonado. So we'll see how it goes. So tonight, hopefully Gerrit Cole mows them down. We'll be scoreboard watching on the Dodgers and the Yankees. And we'll
I love that people will say they're worried about Zach Greinke. All he's done since coming over to the Astros is go 7-1, but they're worried about him.
But you know why?
Hilarious.
You know why? Because he's not a high velocity pitcher.
Sometimes people can be so, and I don't want to say baseball fans or Astros fans, even though Astros fans and Astros
Twitter is a bit intense.
They're insane. They're insane. Yeah. They're weirdos.
I didn't want to go that far, but I knew you'd get us where we had to go.
At Barry is funny. Send me a tweet. I don't give a damn. But to come out and say that a guy that's gone 7-1 since coming over in the trade is his ERA sparkling clean? No. But you know what? He's coming to a different philosophy. He also doesn't necessarily meet the philosophy of the organization that he came to either.
Right.
They like guys with forcing fastballs in the upper 90s. That's not Zach Greinke. So a lot like what you had to do with Miley, you got to figure out how to get a soft-tossing guy to go out there and fit to the way you want to see him pitch.
And the final thing
is, there's a learning curve there.
There's also a luxury there. He's joining a team to which he doesn't have to be pinpoint with his control. He's going to have an offense that's going to put up runs for him to where he doesn't have to be lights out.
Yeah.
He could just be better than average.
Remember, Miley didn't start off all that great.
Right.
Because he was trying to figure out philosophies and everything else that this organization does. So I'm just fine with running Zach Greinke out there a couple of times in the playoffs.
All right, that's hour number one in the book. Still got 2 hours to go. Plenty more of the show. Alice Little at 2:30 and much, much more. The second hour in just mere minutes right here on ESPN 97.5.
Out here, if you're doing nothing, you're doing everything right. Though on a cruise with Norwegian, even if you're doing nothing, you're still basking in the warm sun, enjoying the peaceful ocean waves, you're breathing. Don't forget about breathing. Definitely need to be breathing. So you get to do nothing, or everything, but you still need to be breathing. It's like really important.
Experience the difference with cruises to Alaska, the Caribbean, and Europe. Norwegian Cruise Line. It's different out here. Visit NCL.com, call your travel advisor, or 1-888-NCL-CRUISE. Norwegian Cruise Line ships registry with Bahamas and USA.
Hey, sweetie, your mother showed me this Carvana thing for selling the car. I'm going to give it a try. Wish me luck. Me again. I put in the license plate. It gave me an offer. Unbelievable. Okay, I accepted the offer. They're picking it up Tuesday from the driveway. I haven't even left my chair. It's done. The car is gone. I'm holding a check. Anyway, Carvana, give it a whirl. Love ya.
So good, you'll want to leave a voicemail about it. Sell your car today on
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.